Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And I'm Tim Wildman. Appreciate you listening to us here on AFR. Ed Vitagliano with me, Walker Wildman, and now Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, before we jump into the topics we're going to discuss in the next 24 minutes, two things real quickly. Our Holy Land tour, which is coming up March 14th through the 22nd, yes, like in 2019, is filling up. I would say we're 75 to 80% full. This happened last year. I don't know why. We're typically in years past, we're not even halfway full by now, but man, people want to go see Israel, and we would love to be able to take you, but you know, in order to take you, you got to sign up. And so if you want more information on that trip, just go to twholyland.com. If you want to go with a bunch of folks who support AFA and listen to AFR, that's who will be on this trip. Just go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, just go to, just call the number, 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, just touch number 5, or some people say punch 5, 800-FAMILIES, punch 5, leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. And one other note, real quickly, this train is about to pull out, but we do have about 8 to 10 seats left on our Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown tour, coming up in like 5 weeks from now. So I know it's late notice, but if you want to go on that trip, you can read all about that at spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. It's September 16th through the 19th. We're going to Jamestown, Yorktown, and Williamsburg. And Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be leading us through America's history, and we're going to be looking at all the wonderful things that happened there in those early American sites. So that's September 16th through the 19th. So if you want to go on that with us, we have still a few seats left, but you need to sign up right away. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Steve Jordahl, what, lead us off, brother.
I just got to say, first off, I think you could probably give Rick Steves a run for his money with touring as you're doing. You know who Rick Steves is?
I don't.
Rick Steves is a very popular tour guide.
I know
guide.
Who Rick Dees is. Disco Duck.
Disco Duck guy, right?
Yeah, but who are you talking about?
Rick Steves. He's on the Steves. I think he's on he does a lot of internet stuff, but he's a tour guide. Rick Steves does Europe, and you can, like, it's a PBS show. It's great. He's a good tour guide, but I think you could probably give him a run for your money.
Okay, well.
All right, Dateline, Florida. Uh-huh. This is Sanford, Florida, and we have a carjacking in process. And
you're being serious.
Well, it's resolved now. But, yes, there's a carjacking. And the police were following it with a helicopter, but they ran the car. The car ran off the road, and the driver was arrested. The passenger got out and started running. And listen to what happened next. This is Cut 4.
South and east of you, actually the large group of cows is following her for a good visual. Looks like they may attack her.
Want to alert, I'm going to give you my flashlight. You can tell me where to go from here.
Keep going southeast. She's pretty far into the field now. If you see the large group of cows, they're literally following her and chasing her.
Hey, alert Sanford. If one of y'all could go east on Celery, there's a driveway and it cuts to the south there. It might help.
They found the driveway. The cows herded her right through the fence to the police.
So were they really going after her or following her because they...
No, well, no. The cows... The guy says... The guy who owned the cows, his name is Richard Kondracki, and he has a dozen cows on his property, and he says he never saw them be aggressive before, but then again, no one's ever really run through their field.
Right.
And it's calving season, so they had little baby cows with them, and moms don't like, you know... So I think they were. There's a video that goes with this. And a little aggressive.
Here's what happens. The cows, usually the only times the cows see a human come out in their field is when they're being fed.
Right.
And so if you go to a farm sometimes, the cows will start trotting up to the gate when you're going into the field, even if you're not going to feed them.
Right.
And they harass you. You know, they mm-hmm. swarm around you and just kind of hang out. Like, are you going to feed us?
Cows swarm?
A swarm of cows.
They can.
Yeah.
They can.
Yeah. But I'm going to ask, that was my first dumb city boy question. About, I know I knew what Walker was saying, but I'm going to ask a second dumb city boy question, because my understanding is, tell me if I'm wrong, you guys, that cows can actually be dangerous. Everyone thinks they're always passive, but like if they do have a calf, they can charge somebody hurt somebody. Oh,
yeah. Walker can put this story. It's on Fox, and you can put it up on the Today's Issues Facebook page. But it has a video with it. They have that, you know, like the infrared video that you see from helicopters, and you see this lady traipsing through the farmland, and then you see the cows, and one of them actually looks like it's going to charge her. It kind of charges and turns off. So I think they were a little protective at this point.
Okay.
Well, and another little known fact about this story is that the cows were holding up signs that said, eat more chicken.
They were. Catch this chicken. So, yes.
All right, so where was that now?
That was in Florida. That was in Sanford, Florida.
Okay. All right. So what was she charged with?
She was charged with... I have that
trespassing.
Here.
Robbery, I believe.
Well, it was carjacking. So, both Kaufman and Young were charged with trespassing, petty theft, drug possession, and resisting arrest. Police found 1.3 grams of cocaine as well as drug paraphernalia, and who knows, maybe
also
empty milk cartons.
Also charged with pasturing without a license. Come on,
yes,
you got to give me some props for that.
Yeah, that was good, Ed. I like that. All right. Ed will be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
what do you got next, Steve?
Well, I don't know if I want to go to this next one right now. I'm going to wait. We have our first Amazon drone delivery. It's actually Alphabet, which is Google's parent company, actually. They have Wing, apparently, is what they're developing, and it's where they will send a drone with your merchandise from the warehouse to your house. So you can order something and have it show up in minutes. And this is Brianna Smith and her 2-year-old son, Jack, called in. This was prearranged. This was a test flight and ordered a popsicle. They loaded the popsicle onto the drone, flew the drone a couple miles to her house, lowered it down, and little Jack said, "Airplane brought me a popsicle."
That's cool. But I got to say, it's only a matter of time. If this ever took off, no pun intended, and lots of products were being delivered by drone, someone's going to find a way to hack those.
Well, they say that it's right? They say that it's probably a couple years at least until this becomes mainstream, because the FAA has to approve the flights over congested areas. They have to ensure that drones won't be used for terrorism, like one was used in Venezuela, in Venezuela, assassination attempt. Yeah. And they have to create a whole new low-level air traffic control system.
Yes, that's the key. So that's what they're going to do. They're gonna say, for example, all right, all the drones got to stay under 1,000 feet, and then all airplanes stay above 1,000 feet, except around airports when they're taking off and landing. And then they'll have some... many of these will probably be automated. I mean, you're not going to have one employee.
I doubt you're going to have
one drone.
You put a GPS coordinate and it flies.
That'll get pricey. So they'll have this automated system that controls all the drones in the U.S. and they know not to run into each other.
This is bizarre. This is a whole new world, because what if you have a drone that's not in the system? Okay,
I know. If you buy a drone,
Do you have interceptor drones?
A rogue drone?
Rogue drone. So they shoot them down? I mean, do they...
No, what you'll have is, I'm assuming when you buy a drone, like you go to wherever you buy drones, Best Buy or whatever, you buy a drone, I'm sure you'll have to register it. You probably have to sync it with the...
What if somebody gets an illegal drone? Do you have like police drones that come up behind it and said, hey, you pull over? I mean, you're not registered?
Well, I don't know, but there would probably be some kind of laws against flying a non-registered drone in commercial airspace or something. I mean, yeah. they'll come up with something.
Yeah.
That's just fascinating. I'm hearing
it is.
George Jetson. Bum, 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 bum.
That's right.
Jane.
His wife.
Bum, 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 bum.
Indeed.
His dog, Elroy. What was it? Was his son's name?
Elroy.
Elroy was his son's name? Yeah. What was his dog's name?
I don't know. But they have a daughter, too.
If you could find James? The Jetsons James? Theme there, Brent.
I had it at one
yeah,
point.
Well,
I thought, but...
we'll see if we can find the Jetsons.
What was the name of the company he worked for? It was Jameson. Was it Mr. Jameson was his.
Walker, do you know what we're talking about?
The Jetsons?
You don't have a clue what we're talking about? Walker.
What year was this?
Well, listen to this, Walker, and see if it's
that was me. That was
see if you remember this when you were at all during the course of your 24 years. Yeah, we're going to have
Astro.
There goes a drone.
Astro,
thanks
the dog.
To Deanna, who said drone. Astro there, was the dog.
There goes a drone right there. Did you hear it, though?
Yes.
Here we go. Jane, his wife.
His boy, Elroy.
Oh, his boy, Elroy. I thought,
yeah.
Isn't his wife, Jane, coming up?
I think so.
Daughter Judy.
Judy. Jane, his wife. That's all of them, isn't it?
No, Spacely. He works for Mr. Spacely.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, you got the robot, though, right? Is that all that's going to be introduced in the thing?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
that's
there
it.
Was okay. a robot. Yeah. It was a cool show.
It was.
There was a robot popular. Would come out and clean up stuff. And
yeah.
You know what was great about it is you could watch the Flintstones, which is prehistoric.
Right.
Right? And they're driving their car with their feet.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, you get a bowl of cereal, come back, and you're out there in the 22nd century.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you could.
And the Flintstones, it was a very creative show. Like, they'd play a phonograph, and they'd have a bird that was the needle.
Yes.
You know, had to put the beak down. It was very creative.
Because I think those are all Hanna-Barbera comics.
So.
I wonder if they ever had a Flintstones meets the Jetsons. We should look that up.
Crossover?
Yeah, that would
like
be
a crossover
fun.
Comic.
Both great shows.
Yes.
I think.
And you. Young man, missed out.
Yeah, you need to go back and watch those.
Now I'm going to have that song.
Looks like the last
Rosie
episode,
the Robot,
the last
thanks to Mitchell.
Episode was produced in 1987,
really?
Which would put it 5 years before I was born.
well, there you go.
And
so,
then Debbie,
the Jetsons
Debbie
were,
and Klein, I think,
yeah.
too. George worked for Spacely Sprockets.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, we got some folks out there watching.
Smart audience.
You know,
they're
I wouldn't have thought that. I thought the Jetsons would have ended
in the 70s.
In the 70s, but you're telling me that even as late as 1980, what'd you say, Walker?
The original primetime era
right.
went from 1962 to 1963 in those 2 years.
No, it's a Saturday morning cartoon.
Then later in syndication.
Okay.
New episodes in 1985 and 1987.
So it was only for 2 years? Wow.
So are you telling me it was prime time network TV? I thought it was Saturday morning. That's when I watched
well,
it.
Well, but Flintstones were prime time when they originally
oh,
came
were they
out.
Really?
Yeah.
The
yes.
cartoon series?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This is according to the Wikipedia page. Following its prime time run, the show aired on Saturday mornings for decades, starting on ABC in 1963 and 1964.
You know you've arrived as a cartoon series that you get put next to Mannix.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Hey, our Facebook viewers are just lighting it up. Alan says, best TV theme song ever.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm not sure I'd argue with that. It's a great theme song. And Brian says, yeah, they mixed them once. So there must
Did
have
they?
Been
yeah.
there must have been a crossover
that
cartoon.
That would be hilarious.
Jetsons
I have to go
and
find
the Flintstones.
That one. Hey, since we're on the topic of children's television and programming,
right.
did you see that they banned the movie, the Christopher Robin, the Winnie the Pooh movie in China?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us what
happened. Tell
happens,
why.
Steve.
That's funny.
They banned the movie because Chinese people have been using Winnie the Pooh as a figure of dissent because they say, and I got to say, I kind of agree with them, he bears a resemblance. President Xi Jinping bears a resemblance to Winnie the Pooh.
It's not far. It's not far fetched. You see the picture of Winnie the Pooh and President Xi.
Boy, that is a That is a tender ego right there, my friend. If you got a dictator over there in China, obviously, and he get his will feelings hurt because the Pooh Bear looks like him, or some say, and so he's banned the movie. Come
Mark,
on,
are you
man.
Putting the story up?
Yeah.
No soup for you.
You can go to the Facebook page and you can see what pictures we're talking about. They are using pictures. They have a picture with Pooh and Eeyore with the Chinese president and the Japanese prime minister. Then they have one with Tigger and Pooh as Xi Jinping and President Obama.
My apologies to our Facebook, one of our Facebook viewers, Debbie. She says, I've got the longest name known to Facebook. Debbie Quackenbush Klein Shank.
There you go.
I thought it was Debbie and Klein.
That's your real name?
That's her. She said, yeah.
How many vowels is that?
Oh, you can buy one.
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know how many vowels I could count, but we don't have enough time left in the show for me to count.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, Debbie.
That's impressive, though.
Yeah.
You know? The dictator of China, what do they call him officially?
President.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
the president.
Duly elected.
Yeah, the president of China. So, some people say he looks like Pooh Bear, and so they banned the new Winnie the Pooh movie. Christopher Robbins is the name of the movie. Yeah,
you got any bigger problems than
come
that?
Come on, man.
Yeah, Mr. President.
Come on, man.
Since we're on a little bit of a train of thought thing, I interviewed Tim Todd yesterday for One News Now, the guy that's doing the Truth for Youth Bibles in Cuba. This is something that he told me that I hadn't heard before. So he's taking, you all know that he's taking eventually 1.4
Can
million.
Can we say that? Can we give that out?
Yeah, I think so. He's pretty public with it.
All right.
He's taking the Cuban government has said that has allowed him to bring 1.4 million Bibles in. But you know that there is an embargo that is going on between the United States and Cuba. So he couldn't ship the Bibles directly from the States to Cuba. So you know what he did? He had the Bibles printed in China and shipped from China to Cuba.
Huh.
So the last two, one of the two of the last communist countries in the world are helping bring the gospel to Cuba.
That's awesome.
Isn't that something?
That's God's sense of humor.
I know.
As well as the genius of heaven. That's fantastic.
Yeah, let me tell you, folks, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues, on American Family Radio. You want to shoot us an email, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. You can engage us and watch the show on Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues, Facebook, or YouTube. And we hope that you'll stay with American Family Radio throughout the day for all our different programs. We've just started a new show in the afternoons at 2:05 Central Time, right after Brian Fisher and Focal Point. Stacy Washington with her show Stacy on the Right is a new show. On AFR, again, 2:05 Central Time, right after Brian Fisher and Focal Point. So we hope you'll give Stacy a listen this afternoon. She'll be here weekdays now on American Family Radio. All right, Steve, next up. What?
Happy anniversary to the Baptist hymnal. It is 10 years old this week, I believe.
That's all?
Well, the latest iteration of the Baptist hymnal. They printed one in 1991, and then the next one that they did was 2008. Okay. And interesting story. So the Baptist hymnal, when they first put this together, and I just talked to the guy that is in charge of it a little while ago, and when they put the thing together in 2008, they thought, people aren't using hymnals anymore, so we're not even going to put a physical book up. We're just going to put it online and give you the transparencies or the graphics you can project up on your screens and everything. But they found that more than 50% of churches, Baptist churches, were still holding the physical hymnal.
Hmm.
And he told me today that still in 2018, more than 40% are. So they did do a hymnal. They started out with some 3,000, no, they started out with some 3,000 songs that they had to choose from. They needed to whittle them down to somewhere in the 600 hymn range. And
they have a committee for that?
Well, they did. Here's what they did. They did have a committee. They took polling of their churches, What songs are you singing? What songs do you want? He said, interestingly enough, there was not a single hymn that everybody that voted for said had to be in there. Not even like Holy, Holy, Holy. And there wasn't a single hymn that 100% of the voters said should not be in the book. So a lot of discussion. They whittled it down, and they said they had a process where they got the ones that people are singing, and then they took a look and says, are all the theological, they put them through a theological grid so that they were correct theologically. They didn't want to put any errant theology in their hymn book. And then they said, are all the important theological topics covered? So if, for example, there weren't enough songs about salvation, they went out, even though the song wasn't voted in, the committee put a couple more songs about salvation in. And then, this is the amazing thing, then they embarked on what they call the largest recording project in the history of Nashville. Nashville is home to country music, and they've been recording there for decades. This was the largest. They eventually, they said they had three, every musician that had anything to do with Christian music in Nashville was engaged for almost 2 years. They eventually recorded 1,000 songs, of orchestrations of different versions. And I brought some so you could listen to what they kind of sound like. So I want first for you to hear, they did both hymns and praise songs, and with the hymns, full orchestra, but if the song didn't give itself to violins and stuff, then they used a band. So I want to play clip number one. This is one of the hymns. This is what it sounds like. So that's Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And they have every hymn in the book that is, you can either buy the whole hymnal for $500, or you can buy each individual song for like $1.50. And so this is one of the instrumentals. This is one of the praise songs. Play number two, Brent. This would be a band. Now, you probably don't recognize the song.
So is this instrumental?
They have voices? Different versions. This is play number three. Or two. Three. This is the same song you were just listening to. If we get through the... Hold on.
This is the air I breathe.
So they have versions that are split track so that you can either have the vocals with you or you can play it without the vocals.
So if you have a small Baptist church and you don't have a song
leader or anybody
or
that can
musician,
handle that can handle the new hymns or the new
you can play the track,
you can buy
and
the track.
Congregation can sing with
you. That's right.
You know, I wonder, I don't know this answer, and y'all might not either, but do they add new songs?
He says that this is a hymnal with no back cover. That they're going to keep adding stuff to
it. Okay, so it's not, we've got these set hymnals and we're not adding any more.
Well, every 20 years or so, they come out with a new hymnal. So.
How many songs does an average hymnal hold?
About 600.
Wow, really? Yeah. That many?
Yeah, you never sang the first, second, and fourth verse. On
yeah, you could save some space there.
That's right.
Page 399. Turn with me now. All right, all those great songwriters gave their hearts to write in verse 3 and nobody sings them.
That's right.
Tragedy. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.